Welcome back to Behind the Play. My name is Alex Adams, and I'm fortunate enough to have the dream team of the PWHL on the show today with Cheryl Pounder and Kenzie Lalonde of TSN. Thanks so much, you two, for coming on the show. And it'll be a really exciting PWHL and NHL season for the both of you. But my first question is, have you guys ever played each other in any form of hockey together? Because you guys were both pretty good hockey players. And I'm wondering, after a broadcast, before a game at the World Championships, have you ever kind of got a, battle on the boards or something like that? I brought a stick out. I'm just, that's what first came to mind.
That's a really good question, and I'll go first. No, and I don't think I ever, as a former winger, I don't think I ever want to go down head on one-on-one against Pounder. I think that would be a disaster. So the answer is no, and I don't want that to happen to me.
Oh, come on, Kens. I was actually excited that you just asked me that because I thought you were going to say, did you play against each other in school? And I was going to be
I
like,
did.
yeah, we're the same age.
Yeah. Well,
It's tough.
yeah.
It's tough standing beside Cinderella in the
Oh,
booth.
we're
But
sisters. We're sisters. A couple of sisters.
yeah, no, we haven't. Actually, though, there's been some injuries playing ball hockey, and you've had some separate injuries playing hockey. Have you not at World Juniors? Did you not get hip checked?
Yeah, we've got a boss who I think has our number here and is looking to take us out. So
Yeah.
I've got
He doesn't
hip
like the
checked.
invoice.
Yeah, he's trying to bring the numbers down, I think. So yeah, I've been lovely hip checked. Yeah, when TSN, whenever our crew gets together and gets out on the ice, you got to keep your head up and people are going for you. And I would think it would be the same case if I was to go one-on-one against Pounder. So I want to avoid this at all
I
costs.
think, see, I don't. I would love to play against you. Maybe we'll have to, rent some ice,
My
even though I
hands
don't know
aren't
if
what
I
they
can skate
used to
anymore,
be.
Kens. Oh,
My
I was high hard off the glass. There are no hands here. I'd just be hip checking her. That's
If
about
I
it.
could
Cross
line
check
up
or
and
hip check.
my slap shot, I think, was my greatest weapon. And that's not really going to help you against a defender a whole lot, but I can try and bring the mitts out again. But I think he'll take the cake pounder. I don't think I stand a chance.
I definitely would cliffhang you if you tried to get by. I would do
He'll give
everything
me
I
like a
could.
Mark Methot hip check.
I would try. I would try. I still have got that compete in me. Don't let
Fair.
anyone go around you, no matter what. Do whatever it takes. Sorry, Kens.
I want to just talk about, like, there's, as you can tell by this exchange, a lot of chemistry between you two. What was it? Was it love at first broadcast, together in the booth? What was that like when you guys kind of came together? Maybe just talk about the origin story a little bit.
Yeah, I'll never forget as the newbie. I'll never forget my first game with Pounder. It was in 2021 at the Worlds. I think it might have been a game against Switzerland. I don't even know. But she was with the wonderful Rod Black for the majority of that event. So I got to see them. And you talk about chemistry on air. Like those two were hilarious. I would be in the corner working on my work. And from the far angle, you guys had like cowboy hats on at one point. So
You're in Calgary.
it always looked like a great time calling a game with Pounder, and so I got that chance. And yeah, I mean, I was nervous. I knew who Pounder was and her resume and her career, and so there's that like nervousness, I think. But
Nervous about me, Kenzie? Come
well, and then
on.
you're like around you, and I'm like,
Yeah.
oh, we're the same sisters. So it's an immediate bond and connection when you're with Pounder on air, off air. And so I'm grateful to call her one of my good friends now.
Oh, back at you, girl. It's interesting because I remember being in the booth and I remember that game and then the many games after. I think each one takes its own shape. But one of the things that I think you have in the booth is, first of all, I mean, obviously, Kenzie's very talented. So right away, you knew that she was just going to skyrocket. But just understanding how it all works when you're in there, and what Rod had once said to me, he said, no rules, just be yourself. And I think that's one of the biggest messages is just be yourself. Understanding each other's tempo, I think that's something I tend to talk too much. So, learning those tempo, the tempo of when to come in and when not to. But certainly, I think there was just a natural vibe there. And I think, we call hockey, it's not rocket science. It's not life changing in terms of when you think about what people are doing out there. And so to get out there, to put your full foot forward, be as prepared as you possibly can be, which Kenzie does an outstanding job at that. I mean, your preparation is second to none. And then just going with it, allowing to feed off the energy and the natural energy of the game and having fun. Like, I don't know how many times during a game, like, we'll knock each other or we'll point. But most importantly, I would say, of course it's a friendship first, but it's teamwork. And I think, she wants that broadcast to be fantastic. So do I, and to share information with one another and with the camera people and the truck. I think we've really learned that it is really one big team, and you really, it comes across, I think, when it's a natural energy. And I think she certainly has it. And again, we just have fun. And yeah, it's exciting to be able to do it. And it's great work to be able to do.
Do you have a either one of you, maybe Kenzie, your most memorable moment in the booth with Cheryl?
Oh, that's a big list. I was thinking of this today. I think it's because Rivalry Series is coming up, but we made chili in the booth last year. We had a competition. It was on Super Bowl Sunday. And so we were making our Rivalry Series chili. And we had our little, we went to Target, we got little crock pots, and Pounder thought hers was better because she put like cocoa in it, which I think is not, doesn't just necessarily
Cocoa, hot
need
sauce. Cocoa, where'd you get cocoa?
it. Didn't you put cocoa in
I
it?
put chocolate in my chili.
Oh, I thought you did.
Ew.
But then she started feeding it to like Spooner after the game. So she wanted everyone to know that hers was better. So that's really fun. Like, we opened the show eating it, and the crew had a good snack mid-game. So that was kind of a fun one, I think, for me.
I think it was funny too, Ken's, wasn't it? I was between the benches that game. And
Yeah.
actually, that's something interesting. Kenzie and I were a little worried the first time I went between the benches. We're like, oh boy, are we going to be stepping on each other's toes? But it was interesting. It was just a natural cadence, and it just came naturally. And I was down between the benches, so I had to bring my chili and get into where, you go. And I plugged it in, and there was this massive spark. Do you remember there was a spark? And I'm like, did I blow a panel? Are the lights going to go out in the rink because I made chili? We're going to get in so much crap. So anyway, I was worried about that, and I was worried about a puck because I thought if it knocked over my chili and then I was covered in chili, that would have been something. But again, just, rolling with it, obviously not wanting to take away from the game, but sometimes it's about just enjoying where you are at or where you're traveling to. And I think that's a big piece of it. And authentically caring about each other and how the other one does and feels, I think it just makes it just positive and makes it fun to be a part of, even when we make mistakes. And I do this, oh, like she might give me an elbow or vice versa. Yeah, it's just picking one another up too, because it's live television and you do make them.
I guess, with the PWHL, there's been the storyline for the past year about, what does it mean for women's hockey? And it's a, obviously we're you both, and I am so thankful that the league's kind of come up and been so successful in the first season. But going back maybe to my first question about you two as hockey players, how do you think having this league would have changed your own trajectory and your own careers to have a sustainable hockey, women's hockey league?
Yeah, that's a great question. I have said before that I almost never envisioned, like, I knew that the Olympics, I was coming around at a time when there was national teams in Olympics, but I actually never set my sights on a paid league, because a paid professional league, just because, I don't know, it just wasn't visible. I played with players like Angela James, and she was sort of one of my mentors. She was someone I really looked up to. But, I played alongside her. And so I didn't see that visibility of that league. So, but it hadn't been there. I think it the extension of careers in terms of playing in your prime, and sort of, we see a lot of women, really great hockey players leave the game. And, just the idea that they can push towards playing professionally, have it be their livelihood. I think, staying in that prime, in those prime years, I still think we age gracefully in terms of, like, we are better as we get older. I think we're stronger. Some of my fittest years were honestly right, my child, like right after I had a child, I was the strongest that I'd ever been. And I think it just gives opportunity to play in your prime longer. And I do think it'll push that age as well, because of it.
And I think for me too, like I was never on the track to be on a national team by any means, but I knew, so I always knew the end would be there. So my kind of goal was some sort of post-secondary education while playing hockey. That was kind of what I envisioned the end to be. But if I knew there'd be a pro league, who it kind of like what Cheryl was saying, your playing career would just naturally likely extend because now there's a possibility there. So I would, you know, I would think considering where I was at, like in my later days in high school, I'm sure I would be maybe considering what would my path now be if I do end up want to make myself good enough to be able to play in this league. How would it change? How would my life have altered? But I think in saying that too, I had always dreamed of working in sports, whether it was management or media capacity, and I'm sure I would have be also on an ideal timeline and journey to maybe work for this league one day. So I could see it kind of being twofold, just the fact that this league is here. I could have seen myself wanting to play in it, but also working in it as well. And to now actually be working in it is pretty cool.
And I'll add to that, I just, with having daughters and having coached, I've seen, and I keep using this word cascading. I think it was Dave Poulin's word, and I just loved it. But because that hope and optimism is cascading. And so now I hear it quite often. You know, the PWHL comes up in conversation around the girls' teams that I'm, you know, either was affiliated with or I see, because it goes beyond the schooling now. So someone, whether you're at college or, you know, the way you work and practice, the way you set your sights, because you have a goal, you know, you have something that you're setting your eyes on, and not everyone that, you know, has that path to a national team. And even some who do, you know, this is also it, because it's their life. Like, they can play, they can compete, they can train, they can have resources to become the best athlete that they can be outside of, say, college, which at that time might have been the most professional level or body, where you have all those resources available to you. So now you can come out while you're in college, continue to push, continue to try and grow, knowing that it's not ending, or it may not end. And I think that's a really big piece, even for the young girls out there, to identify with some of these others and then also say, yeah, I want to play there. Because then between there and there's the work and there's the goal setting. And I think that's really important.
Maybe for Kenzie, just what do you think after such a successful inaugural season should be some of the goals of the league heading into their sophomore season to continue to keep up with the growth of the league?
Yeah, well, I think just could keep going from last year. You know, you look at the attendance in particular in the Canadian markets, that didn't ever seem to be an issue for them. You look at now with larger venues and on a consistent basis looking to fill those. So in addition to attendance, I think keeping these broadcasts going will be also a great re opportunity to continue to reach these markets. And I think now just also allowing for these teams to be more ingrained in their communities. They were already doing a good job of that last year with fellow sports teams in each city and markets. They were jumping on board and helping to cross promote. So I think I'm looking at it from like a promotions point of view, and just continuing to grow that will be important for them. And I think you look at a bigger schedule as well, more games, more opportunities for fans to come out. And I mean, a game I kind of looked at with the schedule being announced recently was the New Year's Eve game. I mean, pop the champagne. You have a Battle of Ontario game set for the 31st of New Year's Eve. And people are always looking for something to do on New Year's Eve. So games like that, I think will be big for them to help continuing to grow.
Yeah, and I think for me, I 100% agree with you. I think not being afraid to push the envelope in terms of the rule book. I also, the merchandise, the jerseys coming out, I think that's critical for their fan bases, to get those out there and people start to identify, you know, when you've got that, you know, the feeling and the energy around that logo. I know even just in the last year, you know, walking into a pub and all of a sudden, there was a PWHL Toronto jersey, and it was a middle-aged man wearing it, and he wasn't related to any of the women or me, or, you know, and we got into this healthy conversation. Or I was like, hey, do you mind if we put that on the big screen today? They're no problem at all. How's Spooner doing? And I was like, wow, you know what I mean? They're following. So I feel like, you know, keeping those conversations, but there's going to have to be links. There's going to have to be, you know, we have to get new fans out as well, because you know the base, the fan base, the one that you currently have is so engaged and passionate. They drank the Kool-Aid. So sort of extending that. And I think the merchandise and potential, over time, just the scheduling and all of those things, I think will weigh heavily into the success. But certainly just, I think keeping the fan engagement. I think at the beginning of last year, I thought to myself, is this gonna hold? Not just being like, wow, we'd be at a game in Ottawa and I'd be like, this is incredible, like this energy, like, oh my gosh. And then I was like, is this gonna hold, and then all of a sudden you're at the end of the year and it's the same and you're like, this is incredible. So I think just continuing to push, and I think the women sell the product themselves by the skill that they bring, but I think making sure that just the way in which they engage, and of course I do think that the merch is big as well, just that identification of that, that team.
What for you, Kenzie, what are maybe the storylines that you think are going to be really exciting heading into this season?
Ooh, yeah, good question. I mean, you can go in so many different angles. I think it'll be fun to see Sarah Filliere in this league, moving ahead. I mean, she was picked up by New York. And when you do kind of look at their team, incredible center depth, like her, Carpenter, Nora Toulouse, Abby Rock can play center. So I'm interested to see how they find like supporting pieces for some of these stars. So that stands out to me for New York. I look at Ottawa on paper, they look incredible.
Yeah, they do look good.
And kind of like last year, Cheryl, we saw them go so deep. They controlled their fate in their own hands and they couldn't find a way. But again, you look at them on paper, Sava Lainen coming in, they look like they've made great improvements. And I think it'll be the first, I mean, I'm sure it's been said, but I think it will be a battle in net. You have Gwyneth Phillips right there as well with Mashmeyer. Like, will they have a tandem ship now? Like, can Mashmeyer take a few games off now and help to continue to lead that team into to a few more wins? And I guess just one big piece that jumps out to me for Montreal is Lena Ljungblom, hopefully lacing up with them this time around. And is she the left winger for Marie-Philippe Poulin? It's been a conversation we have it all the time with Team Canada, like who plays with Poulin? And so maybe it's Lena Ljungblom in Montreal.
Yeah, I mean, all of those. I'm just when I look at the rosters too, you look at the depth. I mean, all of the players last year, of course, I mean, outstanding players, but every year, you look at your draft and there was a lot of question over, is it a three-team league? Is it a two because of the playoffs last year? And now you're looking at the depth and I'm saying, okay, it'll be interesting to see how coaches deploy their benches now as we look down up and down the lineup and what that does look like. I'm interested to see the power play this year for the different teams. I think one of the most difficult things to do with a blank slate like the coaches had and GMs had in that first year was to, they were putting pieces together, not sure how they would fit, how that identity would look. So now after a year, they have an understanding of that sort of identity and then able to go and get pieces to sort of fill that in. So I'm interested to see if those power play numbers do elevate on, over the course of the six teams. I'm interested in Daryl Watts in Toronto. I really am. I'm waiting for that Toronto-Ottawa matchup. Of course, we know what she did with Jenner. And so it's really interesting to me to see, because I do think that Toronto needed that sort of natural goal scorer. So I think it was a great find for her, but interesting, of course, that she did go there. So yeah, I'm really interested to see sort of what that looks like and what kind of energy that is with the meeting. But yeah, I mean, Ottawa also did a great job, I think, of shoring up sort of the size of their blue line. I think that was a big piece that I know that I was looking for last year. So I think there's so much we can talk about, whether it's Minnesota looking to do a repeat. I mean, there's just so many different lines of this, which makes it fascinating, really.
I
I think
will.
just to that point too, Pounder, like, sorry, Alex.
No, go
I mean,
for
like the team names, are there going to be mascots? Are we going to see? I envision this when Toronto Scepter named their identity, their team name. Like, is, will Blair Turnbull be coming out kind of like in Montreal with the torch? Is she going to have like a scepter and is she going to like smash the ice with it? Just, you know what I mean? Fun stuff like that on opening night. I'm interested to see what teams are going to do. Yeah.
I just
Go
want
ahead.
one team to have a version of the gritty. I don't know what it,
Oh
but
yeah.
one team needs to do a version of that.
Yeah.
Maybe a
I know
lightning
that'd
bolt.
be interesting, eh? Yeah, it is. And what whether like how they'll align it, like what will Boston's look like, right? And what will, you know, and just all of it. So I think it's really neat. Yeah, I think it's really neat. Tons of stories, tons of storylines.
Before I let you go, you both also covered the NHL, and there's been a bit of a rivalry brewing between the Senators and Canadians that both of you are both on the broadcast. So this is the question that I think a lot of fans want to know right now, as we currently sit here today, which team is better, the Montreal Canadiens or the Ottawa Senators?
I'll let you go first there, Kenzie Lalonde, seeing
Well,
the Bureau
look,
of Chief for Montreal. You better get this
yes.
one right,
Let me put
girl.
on my bureau reporter hat for this. Better. I think that's a challenging term to use. You look at expectation. The Ottawa Senators have expectation to be better and to make the playoffs. The Montreal Canadiens do not have that. So, I mean, they go out there and you know, they lose by one goal, but they play a good game. We're all like, that was a good game. The expectation isn't, it's kind of hard to compare them. I think the Ottawa Senators have a lot of talent and can be a playoff team. They just need to find a way to make it work. So that's kind of where I stand on that. I think the Senators can make the playoffs. They just need to find a way to make it possible and maybe get some more depth there on the blue line. But I think they can do it. So the Habs just maybe don't necessarily have that expectation, but they're showing they can compete on a nightly basis, despite maybe not having some of the stars and the firepower that other teams have.
Yeah, and I think that the Habs are going to have a hell of a blue line in the future. And you know, you start looking at that. I mean, the one thing that it is so difficult to win, and so every game that you're in is a game, and so you have to play it like you're in it to win it. And Marty St. Louis, he's got a team that will that fights, right? So you saw, you know, Montreal beat Ottawa the other night. With the Ottawa Senators, yes, expectation is higher. You look at their even their middle six. You go their top nine. Their depth is much stronger. They've got Jake Sanderson on the back end right now, who, I mean, he's outstanding. I think in the future he will be a Norris candidate. But for me, I have a question, and I think at the end of this year, I think I may, as an analyst, start to answer it here one way or the other, and that is this core the right core? And you know, I think when you look at skill set and you look at, you know, the ability to shoot and the ability to pass, and you look at all, you break it down into all of those different little elements, you're like, yeah, but that doesn't necessarily work, doesn't necessarily fit, may not, it's not the special sauce or the secret mix. And if we all knew that, we'd all, you know, we'd all be making kajillion dollars and being GMs and whatever. But for me, I think that's the big question for me this year with the Ottawa Senators. If they get decent goaltending, which they should if Linus Ullmark is healthy. If they're able to do that, shore up their defensive structure a little bit. I think if they aren't pushing for playoffs, then I think we're asking an even bigger question. So for me, I'm kind of in that little bit of a limbo in it in terms of that.
Well, thank you, both of you, for coming on the show. I guess my last question is, how do you survive covering the NHL and PWHL at the same time? I don't know how you two do it.
We call each other all the time, Alex, and we're talking constantly about what's happening and what's going on.
Yeah, I think people, you know, well, you know, everyone, you know, that you just stay connected to it, to all of it while you're doing something else. And one of the most difficult things to do if you call the game the night before is to then walk into a game where you've got to, I like to rewatch every game before I'm on a you know, on a game. So when you're doing a bunch of different teams, that can be difficult, it can be arduous. So I think it's a busy schedule. You know, it's trusting your knowledge, it's talking to coaches, it's talking to each other. Sometimes when it gets really busy, you know, you can be like, okay, I'm gonna go look on this one. I'm gonna go, okay, you go that way, I'll go this way, we come back together. What did you get? You know, sometimes it's coaches, you get them at the same time. So you've got to go, come back. What do you have? What do I have? So that does happen a lot. But yeah, I think the biggest thing is your preparation leading into season, your preparation, you know, right now, October, November, before we hit November 30th, we'll be building boards, which change obviously because, you know, trades are made and what have you. But building your boards, getting your information, making sure your you know, I's are dotted and your T's are crossed so that you're informed before it even starts, to the best of your ability.
Awesome.
So it's, but it's fun, right? It's fun.
It's pretty cool. Someone asked me that the other day, being in Montreal, with a pro team now, what's changed? And I said, I get to walk into practice as I do walk into the Brassard with the camera and scrum players. I get to do the same routine for a pro women's hockey team and a pro men's hockey team. So it's pretty awesome.
Awesome. Well, hopefully it will be a great another great PWHL season, and I love you guys on the broadcast, and hopefully it'll be a fun year. Maybe some more Canadian teams going farther in the playoffs. That's the one thing, as a with no skin in the race. But thanks so much to you two for taking the time and doing this, and it should be a very busy fall for you too. And thanks again.
Awesome. Thanks, Alex.
Thanks, Alex. Appreciate
See you on the other side, Kens.
it.